Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, as I usually do every second Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. Central Time. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I've had 10 careers. My first career after arriving in the United States from Jamaica was as a fashion model. Then I was a singer on the MCA label, a corporate consultant for Accenture, and today I'm a professional speaker and trainer, author, blogger, certified professional coach, leadership and confidence coach for Forbes Coaches Council, and a certified John Maxwell coach and radio show host. Let's set the tone for today's show. C. Joy Bell C. said, "Life is too short to waste any amount of time on wondering what other people think of you. In the first place, if they had better things going on in their own lives, they wouldn't have time to sit around and talk about you. What's important to me is not others' opinion of me, but what's important to me is my own opinion of myself."
Today's show is brought to you by JAD Communications International. They specialize in personal development, coaching, and training. JAD Communications focuses on improving communications, managing people and expectations, increasing interpersonal skills, promoting respectful communications, and conflict resolution. Visit them online at www.jadcommunications.com and use the contact page to request more information.
We have a fantastic show for you today. Joining us later will be Dr. Susan Edelman, who will be taking your calls and questions, so be sure to call us at 646-381-4198. And by the way, if you're listening online and you decide to give us a call, please mute your computer first. Today's show is titled, "How to Be Your Own Brand of Sexy in Business and Life." With the recent release yesterday, in fact, of the movie 50 Shades Darker, we have to ask ourselves, is 50 Shades of Grey a sexy love story or a dangerous trend for women and our culture? The wildly popular trilogy, 50 Shades of Grey, opened a new dialogue about sex and reinvigorated stale sex lives, but it isn't simply a sexy love story. This trilogy and the movies that follow are propelling us down a slippery slope to an even lower low of normalizing violence towards women. There's nothing wrong with women wanting sex, even adventurous sex. The problem lies in the objectification of women and the denial of the harm that sexual violence causes. We hear about sex scandals daily, but don't see how movies like 50 Shades confuse us. Our guest, Dr. Susan Edelman, MD, will talk about this movie release and the 50 Shades of confusion that it delivers to audiences. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Susan Edelman has been a guest on many radio and TV shows, including Jenna McCarthy's Dirty, Sexy, Funny, Channel 7, WJLA, Good Morning, Washington, D.C., and SiriusXM Radio. Dr. Susan's credentials and experience set her apart from other show hosts. Practical and provocative, Dr. Susan delivers talks that challenge and empower, often making you question everything you thought you knew. She shows women and men what stands in the way of getting what they want and teaches powerful takeaway strategies that enable them to achieve powerful shifts and lasting results. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you, Yvonne. It's wonderful to be here with you. And I love that quote you opened with.
Thank you. Why do you think it became so wildly popular? Oh, I'm sorry. Why do you think 50 Shades is dangerous? Isn't it just a sexy fantasy love story?
I don't think it is just a sexy romance, as they would have us believe. I think that it's a playbook for intimate partner violence. And I think we need to take this more seriously. Although there may be some, you know, good points for some people about this movie, the more we don't realize how potentially dangerous it is, the more it kind of propels us even to make things even worse for women in terms of violence, especially sexual violence. You know, Yvonne, I don't think in general people are aware of how much they're influenced by what other people do. And we see this in a number of areas with women, right? We see, you know, the pressure to be sexy and sexual. We have all these unrealistic, unattainable body ideals that are just getting worse because there's people, you know, there's more eating disorders, there's more plastic surgeries. And the more people have plastic surgery, the more they're going to get a body shape that most of us will never have. And then we see Lady Gaga being body shamed, you know, on national. Here she is doing this amazing halftime show at the Super Bowl, and women are pressuring her to conform. I don't think this is what we want.
I actually like those pictures of Lady Gaga with her little tummy. And I'll tell you, I told many people who I heard on social media talking about them. It made me love her more because it made her more human. She's like the rest of us. She's got a little tummy. She's real.
And apparently after this body shaming, she came out saying, "I'm proud of my body and you should be too," which is the kind of message we really need to be delivering instead of, "Oh, you know, you've got a couple of extra inches of something there, huh?" So we're seeing this whole pressure to be sexy and sexual. It's true with the sexuality as well, that in a lot of these campuses and a lot of other areas, women feel like they've got to decide about having sex within 3 days, even if they don't know if they can trust the man. So, you know, it's like it used to be that if you had sex before marriage, you were a tramp, and now it's like if you're a virgin, you're a prude. It isn't leaving room for those of us who just don't want casual sex. And it's not a good message because don't we want the message to be women should be treated well by men, not you should be having lots of sex?
You know what? I started chuckling because I was reading your book, Be Your Own Brand of Sexy. And one of the things I marked in the book was where you said Shoshana Shapiro, a character on HBO's series, Girls, reveals the biggest baggage she has, her virginity. Her shame pushes her to lose her V card as soon as possible, throwing caution to the wind. And in the bedroom, while she wears only matching lingerie, David rejects her because she's a virgin, saying unsympathetically, I'm totally fine having sex with you once you've already had sex, but virgins just aren't my thing. You know?
Yeah.
And when she protests, it's like virgins get attached. Or they bleed. And then the show doesn't even address how she feels about this encounter. It seems likely it would have compounded her shame. So to your point, now it's a shame to be a virgin. For heaven's sake.
And you better hurry up and lose that V-card to be normal like everybody else, which isn't good. I mean, this guy is awful to her. And wouldn't it be better to have her first sexual experience be with kind of a nice guy anyway? But that's not the message.
It should be natural. You know, a few minutes ago we were talking and you mentioned you wrote the book because of a friend, an experience you had. Can you tell us about that?
So one of my dearest friends from childhood has a daughter who went off to college and called me for dating advice. And she's like, "Susan, what does it mean that these guys are asking me to hang out?" And I wasn't quite sure, which was kind of embarrassing, being kind of a savvy, single, older woman and a psychiatrist. And as it turned out, what they really wanted was casual sex. And so she wasn't into casual sex and didn't have many romantic experiences because there weren't many guys at her college who just wanted to take a girl out to dinner and get to know her. So she was disappointed, and I was kind of heartbroken because I loved college dating. I thought it was so much fun, and I wondered what was going on. You know, had dating become passé, and were all these girls now getting the short end of the stick with guys? So this isn't what we had in mind with the women's movement and the sexual revolution. We thought women would be treated better when we were seen as equals. But it isn't looking like that. And I've seen a lot of women in my practice who let men take them for granted and end up confused and heartbroken. So it's not just the millennial generation. This can happen to women of any generation. So this young woman, Emma, said to me, Susan, you have to do something about this. And I thought, she's really right. You know, it's time for us to figure out what's going on and how we got here and what we can do about it.
Well, I'm glad you wrote the book. And I'll say one more thing that I noticed. There's a TED Talk. I don't know if you've heard of this TED Talk, but there's a TED Talk where the woman, it's a very short one, where she's talking about how a lot of the young men have learned about sex from online. And so the approach that they bring to her, right, she's going, no, I don't want to do those kinds of things. You know, that's not real what you're seeing in these movies and videos and stuff. And
porn.
That brings me,
porn, a lot of it.
Right, and so that's what she's talking about, because they learn about sex from porn, and they approach the women in their life thinking that that's what sex is, and she's going, no, you're completely wrong. So to your point about the 50 Shades of Dangerous, you know, now you don't even have to go watch porn. Now you have the movie that opened yesterday that anybody can go see, normalizing, if you will, that kind of behavior.
And it's not just normalizing, it also glamorizes it, and it kind of ignores the danger, right? Because even already today, many women can't tell that they've been assaulted. They go and they study these young women, and the researchers decide the woman has been assaulted, and the women don't even know about it because consent is confusing. Some women wonder, you know, well, if they touch him, does he have the right to expect sex? They're afraid people will call him a prude. They're afraid people won't believe them. And that's what's so scary about 50 Shades, because we don't want the message that, well, if you're not having sex the 50 Shades way, then you're a prude or you're not desirable.
Absolutely. So my next question is, that all those things were said being true, why has it become so wildly popular? What is it?
That's a great question, Yvonne. You know, of course, it doesn't hurt that he's so handsome and rich, and he's crazy about her, and he's monogamous. I mean, those are appealing to women. And I think for a lot of people, it has kind of spiced up an otherwise possibly getting dull sex life. And, you know, women often are so focused on pleasing their partner that they don't tune into their own needs. So maybe if he ties her up, then she can't worry so much about him. She's free to just experience her own pleasure. And I think the other possibilities are, there may be an element of shame in having sex for some women. I mean, our culture's so confusing, right? You should be having lots of sex and you should be ashamed of it. It's kind of the message, which is kind of bizarre. What's that?
Yeah. I said, pretty much, you should be having a lot of sex and you should be ashamed of it. And if you have a son, he should be having a lot of sex. He shouldn't be ashamed of it. Oh, and by the way, that's not the kind of girl you marry.
Right. It's completely confusing in every way. And so perhaps if the man is taking charge and he's forcing you somewhat to do it, then you don't have to own your sexual desires, and you don't have to feel that shame. So there's a little bit of that. The other thing I think that's interesting about this whole series is the woman is very naive. She's a virgin. She's very naive. She's very insecure and not very confident. So it's a story about her learning to use her voice and learning to say no. And in that way, there's some benefit to this. However, you know, if you really stand up to someone who's violent, it doesn't always go that way. I mean, this is how people get killed
right.
And beaten up.
Yeah, it's a movie. And they're following a script.
It's fiction.
Real life is different. So let me ask you this. Isn't it good for women to be able to express their sexual fantasies, though? I mean, that's one of the things the women's revolution fought for.
You know, I do think it's good. It's just that this book outsold Harry Potter. So we're talking about...
I have no idea.
Yeah, so we're talking about something with such popularity that the effect on our society kind of outweighs any sexual benefits, any benefits for women, because the potential for harm is so great.
Especially with younger women who don't have the capacity to discern the difference between the little fantasy that's in the movie and when it crosses the line, right? And the
yes.
confidence when it crosses the line to say, okay, I've had enough. That's as
and
far across
just,
the line as I want to go.
It isn't just younger women either. You know, I think they're at greater risk, but any woman who's had some kind of sexual violence or issues in this regard growing up is going to be at greater risk of being unable to tell if there is something going on. But this, the movie has stalking, emotional manipulation, intimidation. He threatens to gag her and spank her. He wants her to sign a contract where she can't talk to anybody about it. So she's a virgin. He wants her to sign a contract saying all these sexual acts are okay and that has to decide which she'll agree to or not. And she can't discuss it with anybody and she's never had sex. That's an impossible situation.
Yeah, that's pretty impossible. I'll tell you, when I saw the commercial for the movie, I was very upset. I have sons, but they have wives, and I have a granddaughter. And that commercial where she's taking off her underwear in a public place and giving it to him, and they're in a public elevator, and he's doing whatever the heck he thinks he's doing. I was watching the cut, and this is in prime time these commercials are coming on, right? And I'm thinking, if young ladies are watching just the commercial, they are not at the movie, they're watching just the commercial. The message it is sending is that that's kind of sexy and fun and okay. And I completely disagree. I find it that it's insulting and demeaning to a woman to do that in public. But that, you know, that's my personal opinion of that.
Well, and really the question here is it sexually objectifying women? And unfortunately, we've lost our concern about sexual objectification because we're so focused on being the best sex objects we can be. So how are we going to discern that with every movie and media image we get in magazines saying, you know, you should be a certain size, this is how you should look, this is what beauty looks like. I mean, almost 60% of women are unhappy with how they look because of this. And we're trying to change it, but it's really ingrained at this point. And, you know, I don't know if you know this study. These people were studying, I think it was in the Fiji, when television came to Fiji, and the body, the normal body shape was, you know, women had a little bit of meat on their bones before TV came. And then after TV came, eating disorders started, like they didn't have eating disorders before that.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, you know, we are just swimming in the soup. We don't see the before and after because we've been living in this for so long.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. But I have a question about this, which is why shouldn't people do whatever they want in the privacy of their own home? Not in the elevator, like I was just talking about, but in the privacy of their own home, why shouldn't they do whatever they want?
Well, you're right. They should do whatever they want in the privacy of their own home. The problem isn't that. You know, when people are having a respectful relationship and they're able to tell each other, you know, I'm not comfortable with this, and they're they're doing it for fun and they have a good relationship, that's great. What we're talking about is not glamorizing sexual violence and not denying the harm that happens in these situations, because the more common thing that happens with intimate partner violence is that people get beaten or killed, and it's way more dangerous than this.
Yeah, and a lot of times, even without having to sign this thing that he asks her to sign, the women are ashamed, and so they don't tell anybody, you know. They don't want to let people know that's happened to them.
And I think the other part of this that's so important is that she's afraid of him. And a lot of these women are afraid of their partners, and that's a very different thing than, you know, having a relationship with someone who you can feel comfortable with. Because you're afraid, it's harder to say no.
But doesn't the main character, Anastasia, give consent to all these sexual acts and make it okay?
Well, I think that's the thing the movies and the book do. They sort of gloss over consent. So, they tried to make this look like he was a BDSM, bondage and discipline kind of character. Like, this is what he was doing. But the BDSM community who actually does this were, like, appalled, and they said, this is not BDSM. This is intimate partner violence. So they don't think this is the way they do consent. And here she's at a total disadvantage. She's not confident. She's at, like, 5 or 6 years younger than him. She's a virgin. He's been doing this kinky stuff for years. Not only does he want her to sign an agreement saying she can't talk to anybody, but he also wants her to have this other contract, and he's trying to control all kinds of things about what she eats and what kind of birth control she uses. So he threatens to gag her. He threatens to spank her. I mean, she is afraid of him on some level. So I don't know. Where is consent in this? I mean, perhaps that's a legal question that would end up in court if somebody was going to do it. But in a lot of these intimate partner violence situations, they wonder if the woman can give consent if she's frightened.
That's a good question. Why do you think this series affects how women perceive sexual assault and rape?
Well, I think that the more we see these things as normal, the harder it is to tell that they're not normal and that they're dangerous. And I think just as it's going with the pressure to be sexy, the pressure to be sexual, I think we're just making this more and more normal. And we see these kind of things in the news every day with sex scandals. And already we're thinking, well, it's normal. But think about someone who's I don't know if you know about what's happening in colleges and in high schools, but women are not only having trouble reporting it, and apparently rape and sexual assault are the most underreported crimes, but when they do report it, sometimes the schools don't believe them or don't take it seriously. So these girls might report some kind of rape or sexual assault, and the school will question them in a way that looks like they're not buying it and that they don't really want to do anything about it. And sometimes the guys who are the perpetrators or alleged perpetrators are, you know, like rock star athletes at the school. So the school really doesn't want to disrupt their athletic program. Maybe they suspend him over the summer or something, and these girls have to see their rapists in class. So they have – can you imagine that?
So no.
These girls have banded together to file Title IX make Title IX complaints. So Title IX is a law from the 70s that says that you should be free from gender and race discrimination. And so these girls are like, well, this is gender discrimination, and they're filing these complaints. So apparently this is happening all over the country in colleges. And, of course, colleges also, they don't want to be known as a rape college. And then now I was reading it's also in, you know, lower education as well, like before college, that there are 130 Title IX complaints. I just read in the newspaper over the weekend in this country.
Wow. No, I had no idea because I had no idea. Now I'll have to go and investigate that. In your book, you talk about 5 guidelines to being your own brand of sexy. And I want to use that towards the end of the program so we kind of end on a happier note. but I'm curious, what can our recent presidential election teach us about the dangers of 50 Shades?
Well, you know, I think our presidential election was a new low in terms of sexual assault because we had sexual assault charges on both sides of the political aisle. I'm no political expert, but maybe that even neutralized it as a factor in the election. And this isn't about whether you like Trump or you don't like Trump. This is about how the normalization of sexual violence calls for action. Because, you know, we've never had a presidential election like that. When we ignore the dangers of violence toward women, we're just passively accepting it. And I don't think we want to do that. I think we have the opportunity to take a stand against this because, you know, most of the people making movies and TV are men. So they may not, you know, they may not be making this as a role model for women. They may be making it because sex sells and they're making money. So we blame the media like, well, it's their fault, but we have the power over what we buy and what we watch on television and what movies we go to see.
That's very, very true. So now let's talk about, you know, I have your book here, Be Your Own Brand of Sexy. Let's talk about your 5 guidelines to being your own brand of sexy. Number one, you said you have a choice. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let
me just give a little background on what being your own brand of sexy is, because it's a confusing topic for people. So it's really figuring out what you want, what works for you as an individual, and what strategies can help you achieve your relationship goals, whatever they may be. So it's a lot like your quote that you gave is try not to worry so much about what everybody else thinks of you, right? And try to figure out what's right for you as a person. So number one is you always have a choice. So here we are with, you know, a great example is women who think they can't say no to sex without commitment, right? Because a lot of women, you know, sometimes their friends are saying, well, don't bring commitment up and scare them off, or, you know, guys don't commit these days, or he had a bad breakup with his ex, or whatever it is. But if you really, you know, want commitment, then you don't have to have sex without getting that.
That's true. You have a choice. And then your second one is media and peer pressure solutions might not be right for you.
Right. So that's kind of what we've been talking about. Just because they're saying you should have sex within 3 dates or whatever other, or you should look a certain way or you should act a certain way, that isn't right for a lot of people. I mean, what's right for your best friend might not be right for you. We're all different and we're all beautiful in our own way. So we've got to figure out what's right for us as an individual.
That's true. That's very, very true. How about the third one, which is slow can be sexy?
So, you know, there's a lot of pressure to get into sexual relationships right away. And in fact, you know, that's the other thing that gets promoted in 50 Shades. It's what I call the microwave romance. That's a romance that progresses at lightning speed and then explodes in your face. So if you want to... What's that?
I like that analogy, the microwave romance.
Thank you. So basically... this is a recipe for a crash and burn relationship. It probably works for some people to have sex very quickly and their relationships probably work out, but not the majority of people. So And I think we're forgetting that anticipation of having sex is a turn on. We make it sound like the only thing that's sexy is, you know, to have him touch her in the elevator, not like the anticipation of maybe having sex in a month or 2 months or longer. But that can be sexy as well.
Absolutely. It used to be a wonderful build-up to that moment of intimacy. The wanting, the getting to know each other and all that sort of thing. What about your voice matters? That's number four of your five guidelines.
So your voice matters means if something doesn't feel right for you and or you're not getting what you want, then try to find a way to express that, right? And that may not always be, you know, when you live in talk show land, right, and everybody's talking about their feelings all the time, you may think that's the way to get what you want, but it doesn't always work that way with men, right? Sometimes they don't want to hear, well, I felt this way when you did that, and this really hurt my feelings, and they go on and on. And sometimes men get overwhelmed with big emotional conversations. Have you found that to be true, Yvonne?
Oh, yeah.
So it might. What's that?
I said they don't want to hear it, but they need to hear it. They just, you know, they're kind of talked to the hand.
It's what?
They're kind of like talked to the hand. You know, they don't want to go down that road. But it's important to know that your voice matters. You need to express yourself.
But how you do it matters too. So sometimes there are ways to say it that are a little more direct and not so emotional so that they don't get like overwhelmed with feelings. So you could just say, you know, I'm not comfortable with that, or, you know, casual sex doesn't work for me, or I'm enjoying getting to know us better, or not answering the phone if he calls late at night and you don't like that. I mean, there are all kinds of ways where you don't have to get into your feelings, but you're still sending a message.
So I want to tell people to come get your book, but at this point, one of the things in your voice matters, you said that you're providing a woman's 12-piece dating toolbox, a dozen tools to help you navigate modern dating and find your voice. Tell the audience a little bit about that, please.
Well, so the one I just talked about is kind of one of those ways, and it really gets into different strategies that you can use that might be helpful for you. Because, you know, I think sometimes people don't want to look at strategies. I think it's kind of got this weird connotation for some people, Yvonne. Like I had this video on YouTube about getting what you want from men by what you say, and a lot of women wrote me and said, well, that's manipulation. And I thought that was so interesting that it's got this negative connotation to try and get what you want, because maybe that's part of why we don't get what we want, if we feel like we're manipulating somebody. Because, you know, people will say women are manipulating if they wear makeup or they wear a sexy dress.
Absolutely true. And it's important to know these sand traps and pitfalls that can happen with the dating scene. You need to be able to recognize what's going on and use your voice to get what you want. But
some people
find that difficult.
What'd you say?
I said some people find it difficult to use their voice to get what they want, to speak up.
Well, it can be difficult because, first of all, many of us are raised to be people pleasers. And so we're afraid to rock the boat. We're afraid somebody will be angry. We're afraid somebody might not like us. Or we're afraid to lose the man. Uh-oh, you know, what's going to happen if I say this? And I think a lot of us don't have a lot of confidence because because of all these pressures, to some extent, that if we have to go pleasing everybody else, you don't feel more confident that way, you know?
That's true.
And I think a lot of women are having trouble using the best thing that helps them figure out how to get what they want, and that is their feelings, right? And so women might think, uh-oh, I shouldn't feel like that, or they eat too much so they don't have to think about how they feel, or they drink too much or whatever. We have ways to numb ourselves because we can't we can't handle our feelings sometimes. But those are the best ways to help guide you toward what it is that you're looking for.
Absolutely. So the number five of the guidelines is, if a guy isn't respecting your voice, move on.
Right. So that is a really big one, and that can be very hard for women to do. And I'm not saying, just dump a guy. I'm saying, it really is important to make sure that you're expressing yourself clearly. But some guys are never going to hear it. And they say that the best thing, for a lot of relationships is, even if the guy doesn't completely get it, if he's at least trying to understand it, women feel at least like there's something going on here. But if a guy doesn't care how you feel, if you've explained it to him and he's like, well, that's just how I am, then, there's probably not much chance that things are going to go the way you want. And plus, is that the kind of relationship you want with someone who doesn't take your concerns seriously?
Yeah. When you set your boundaries, they should be respected. They should. It's only right. And besides, although women and men are different, we need to have respect for each other in order for the relationship to be a powerful, positive one, in my opinion.
Definitely.
Because if you don't have mutual respect, then, the whole thing falls down.
And maybe it's slightly different since you're talking about in business as well, right? I mean, maybe you can't necessarily move on so fast from a job if someone's not respecting your voice, and maybe you can't stand up in every situation the way you might with your partner. But still, I think this works for business. I mean, I think a lot of women really have trouble being assertive or saying that they have a choice, because sometimes you can stand up to your boss a little bit, maybe in a very diplomatic way, like, gee, I'm not sure I can get this done by Friday. Can we have an extension, or can I get some help to do that, right?
Even with that, just being assertive like that and setting boundaries and finding your voice and speaking up for what you want, a lot of women find that difficult. I have no idea why. I am not one of them, but I know that there are many women who have even said to me when they're getting coached or something, oh, I could never do that. I can't do that. I can't say that.
Right. So I think there are a lot of, I think they're scared. They're scared of conflict. They're scared of losing their job or their partner or whatever it is. And it's a very common problem. So you're lucky you don't have that problem, Yvonne. But I think that there are ways for women to ease into that, so that at least if you can realize you have a choice, there may be a way, maybe not to say, I can't do it, but, gee, I'm not sure that I can finish that in time, right? I'm not sure if I'm ready to have sex. Let me think about it, right? You can always go the maybe route and buy yourself a little time to really think how you feel. Because I think there's one thing really important about assertiveness, and that is that if you pretend that you're assertive, sometimes you can become assertive. And so the more you take baby steps toward that goal, the easier it can be.
That's very, 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 very true. I don't think everybody can find their voice and stand up for themselves. Some people need a helping hand with that. Certain women, just not just from a sexy point of view, just generally speaking, have a hard time speaking up for themselves and setting boundaries. They just do. So do you have any recommendations? If
one of those women? I'm so glad you asked me that. You know, there's no shame in getting help, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think there's a stigma for a lot of people in asking for help about these things, whether it's to get a therapist or a support group or just a mentor, just a woman who maybe has a good relationship with a man or has a good job who maybe can help give you some advice. Those are the kind of things that we need. It's that a lot of times our friends might have similar problems to us. And so we're especially, you know, you see some of these women who are single and they're going to these singles things with other women, and they may all have similar issues. So sometimes if you can get advice from somebody who isn't in that situation, but someone who's been in a relationship for a while that you think's a good, solid relationship, maybe they'd help you figure out how to do these things a little differently.
That's true. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. Here's the thing. When I was younger, I can remember my first husband. I was going to school and he didn't like it. And he actually came home one day and said, "Where's my wife? Where's my dinner?" And I quit school.
Yeah.
Because I was so young and naive, I didn't know any better. Now, if that happened today, I wouldn't put up with it for a second. So I'm just putting that out there as from the honest perspective of, since I have now experience, that helped me to find my voice. But that younger woman of myself that I can look back on, I actually did quit school and make his dinner.
So maybe you didn't see your choice, right?
Right. So
maybe
I'm
you didn't
just saying,
see. Right. Yeah. No, I think a lot of women end up not seeing their choice and just going along with what whoever the other person is wants. And it's good to see there are choices involved there, and because that could be a conversation with him, like, why is this so important to you? Help me understand it, right? Maybe he just was feeling, you know, like he wasn't being taken care of. And
oh, definitely.
Sometimes, is that what it was?
Oh, certainly. Because, you know, it was, I'm not cooking my dinner. My wife is supposed to cook my dinner. Where's my wife and where's my dinner? Okay, and so like I did back in those years in my life when I was, well, you know, I divorced him. I'm just throwing that out there. But like I did back then, in that moment, I actually just quit school. I was in college. I stopped going to college and made him his dinner. But I don't remember what snapped me out of it, but something snapped me out of it, and I told him bye-bye. Because sometimes that's what you have to do. Sometimes you just have to let them go and move on. Like you said, right here.
Sometimes. And there are different ways to handle the whole thing. Because, you know, in some marriages, the man might say something like that. And the woman will say, well, I'm not comfortable dropping out of school. Maybe we need to go to couples therapy, right?
Or something,
and
yeah.
That's another option for couples, right, is to go talk to a neutral third party about it and see if there's any room for compromise or negotiation, because sometimes it's hard to maneuver that all by yourself. If a guy is, you know, really wanting you to do something that you really don't want to do, sometimes it takes more than one conversation, right?
Yeah, sometimes it takes more than one conversation, or it takes getting a professional like you involved to help clear the air and have that neutral third-party voice in the conversation. And I know we've been talking a lot around the woman, the woman, the woman, but yeah, I have to throw out there that I think the men should take some responsibility too about respecting their dates, their partners, and respecting the person. If you like them enough to ask them on a date, then like them enough to give them a little bit of respect.
Absolutely, Yvonne. And you know, I don't even think 50 Shades and all this pressure to be sexual and sexy, it's affecting men too.
Exactly.
This mindset is just not good for men. Men have to deal with confusing cultural pressures as well. They're supposed to be manly and sensitive at the same time. Nobody really knows what it means to be masculine anymore. Can they make a move without being accused of harassment? If they say no to sex, is somebody going to say they're gay? And now 50 Shades is telling them, well, they shouldn't listen to their partner's feelings, but they should make her feel safe at the same time. It's completely confusing.
Yeah, very, very, very confusing. Very confusing. So, you know, I'm going to read some of your words back here to you and then get some final comments from you. But I like in your book here where you said, in reality, sex doesn't equal power. Knowledge is power. Self-worth is power. Being your own brand of sexy is power. So that it's time to redefine what it means to be sexy and feminine and powerful, because women and men have changed, and we have to work on figuring what the new rules are for both of us, women and men, especially in this time of 50 Shades.
Yes, we need to take our power back, huh? In a way that really makes sense for all of us.
Absolutely. So do you have any final comments for our listeners?
Yes, my final comment is that your heart is precious and nobody can tell you what's right for you. You really got to figure it out for yourself. You can get some help. But it's really important not to decide, well, the experts say this, so that's what I should do, but to really look into who you are and what you want.
I agree with you completely. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. And my thanks to all of you for joining us today for the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. Join us again next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. And until then, let me leave you with these final words from Shailene Woodley. She said, I think the most important thing in life is self-love. Because if you don't have self-love and respect for everything about your own body, your own soul, your own capsule, then how can you have an authentic relationship with anybody else? Thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening. Remember to find yourself, live your dreams, and be happy, and also follow the show at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown. Then leave your comments about today's show. And if you have a topic you'd like us to cover, just leave us a comment. Thank you very much, Dr. Susan.
Thank you so much for having me, Yvonne. I really appreciate it.